You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
I've got a good one for you tonight. You're going to love this. I'm really not through with what I started teaching on Sunday morning out of Joshua 1:8. If you want to turn there, go ahead. We're going to start there. On that Hebrew word translated meditate. I want to just really center in on that because that's what we went into and took apart and went into some other scriptures that use that word meditate, haggah, the Hebrew word haggah, and what it means. Now, I'm not going to Hebrew you out. Stay with me. That wouldn't be possible because I don't know that much Hebrew anyway. But this is just such a unique word. It's just really an awesome word, a decisive word. And it can be a decisive word in your life and in my life when you get a hold of what it means. I mean, it can change your destiny and change the direction of your life. If you get a hold of speaking God's word, that's what he's saying. It's just get God's word inside your mouth. Start saying what God says, just like Bob shared tonight, the testimony he shared. You have to begin to say God's word like Chris shared. You have to say God's word. You have to say it when opposition and circumstances and everybody else is not saying it. When everything opposes it, you still have to say it. And if you keep saying God's word, God will always come through. Because what you open up is a channel or an avenue for God to work through. God's word. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1:12, he hastens or watches over his word to perform it. And so as we have God's word in our mouth, we open up a channel or an avenue for God to perform. He's looking around for his word to perform his word. Now, you may think God just moves according to need. No, God has already moved according to need. He moved according to need 2,000 years ago when he sent Jesus to die for your sins and when he bore stripes on his body that you might be healed. He moved on your need before it ever happened. And actually, in one sense, theoretically or abstractly, God has already met our needs in theory. It's just we haven't accepted or received that need met. And when you accept Jesus, you accept what he already did 2,000 years ago. When you believe for healing, you accept what he already did 2,000 years ago. It's potentially yours. It's like money in the bank, but you hadn't written a check on it yet. And when you believe God and stand in faith, you connect and receive what God already did. Amen. Hallelujah. So really, when I get in faith and start speaking the word, I start claiming and attaining and taking hold of what God has already provided. I open up an avenue for him to move because he's already moved on the promise in the sense that he's made the promise and he's stored it up for us. It's already waiting on us. Are you with me? And when I begin to pray God's word or say God's word or speak God's word, then all of a sudden I connect and that door opens up that's been closed or those hands are untied that have been tied. And now I untie the hands of God. And open up that window and open up that door as I begin to believe. And it all comes down to speaking the word. This is what God told Joshua concerning the land of Canaan, how he was going to take it, how he's going to win, how he's going to achieve and experience what God promised. Now think about it. God promised them the land of Canaan. I mean, it was theirs by promise, legally. But practically it wasn't. It hadn't been experienced. You know, and God promises all of us peace, joy, victory. But, you know, all of us hadn't been believing like we should or standing on the Word of God like we should. Many times we look at our life and say, God, you made a wreck of my life. And really, we made a wreck of our life. Are you with me? We have found the problem, or we have found the enemy, and he is us. We can turn that around. We can come to God. That's what repent means, turn around. We can come to God, and all of a sudden our life changes because of decisions that we've made. And, of course, the main one, decide to believe God, trust God, and live for God. Hallelujah. So, concerning Joshua, without going over all the scriptures again, there's so many good points in here. He told him in the 8th verse of the 1st chapter of Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You know what that means? Keep it in your mouth. In other words, have it always in your mouth. Oh, we're going to learn. See, it's going to be good. You're going to be glad you came tonight. You're going to be more educated than you were before you got here. I'm going to learn you something, so. No, I know we know this, but see, it's still the same. It hadn't changed. Now, thousands of years have gone by since this was written. This is long before Jesus even, and 1,000 years before Christ, even before him, 1,400 or so years, 1,400, 1,500 years, maybe even 1,700, depending on what historian you read, what book you read. But it's still the same. It's still the truth. It's still what we need to do. We need to get God's word in our mouth. Amen. And he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Everybody say meditate.
Meditate.
And the thing I've submitted to you and taught Sunday morning and want to go over again tonight is the fact this word meditate here in this context really is talk, speak, not just think or imagine. It's translated that way in some cases, but in more cases than that way, it's translated speak or utter or say. So in context of the scripture, he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Keep it in your mouth, and you shall speak it day and night. Y'all see that? That's really the point he's making. He's not saying, keep it in your mouth and think about it. Keep it in your mouth and speak it. Hello. It's the Hebrew word haggah. Everybody say haggah. I've said earlier, I think, Sunday, that you've been saying that word a lot, usually when you clear your throat. You didn't realize you're speaking Hebrew, but that actually is a Hebrew word. And it means to mutter, to speak, to talk, to moan, to growl, to meditate. Growl, that's interesting. It's actually use of a lion roaring. I think that's interesting over his prey, over, you know, what he's... In fact, every time I get to that scripture, let's see that. I thought that's pretty neat. But it's really has a lot to do with winning battles. Many of the scriptures that use this word have to do with people fighting battles and winning their battles. In fact, it actually has that connotation. That word has the connotation of calling for help in the time of trouble. Hallelujah. So we speak the word in the time of trouble. We speak the word when we need to win a battle. This is the strategy or battle plan that God was giving Joshua, and he told him the plan was you speak the word. That's going to win your battles for you. That'll cause you to win. Now, you stop talking the word, you're going to lose. Because this is how God works. This is how God moves. This is how God stands up for you. You have to pray. You have to say. You have to believe. You have to speak. Amen? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate or speak it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Not until then, though. Until what? Until I speak the word, I will not prosper and I will not have good success. But when I start speaking the word, I will then have good success. I will then prosper. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Ooh, glory. You know, in the told y'all try not to Hebrew yet. The Jesenius Hebrew Chaldee Lexicon of the Old Testament, which that's just a Hebrew study book. Goes into detail in the Hebrew. It takes this word apart and gives it three different meanings or usages. One is to murmur or to mutter or to growl, which that's similar to what we just read. Some of those definitions I gave you actually came out of Nelson's Expository Old Testament, of the Old Testament words, in case you're wondering. And some of it's in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Old Testament. But this is the Jesenius Hebrew Chaldee Lexicon of the Old Testament. If nothing else, it just sounds intelligent to give all those references. Hello. I like giving footnotes. We all stand on the shoulders of giants, you know. I mean, we learned it from somebody. But according to Jesenius, he says, first, it's to murmur, to mutter, to growl. Secondly, or poetically, to speak, absolutely to utter a sound. That's good. So when we're meditating, we're speaking, we're uttering sound. We should be talking. It's okay to talk to yourself, as long as you don't say what. You know, it's all right to converse with yourself. Instead of muttering like Popeye, you know how Popeye used to mutter all the time? Instead of muttering negatively, we should be muttering positively. We shouldn't be talking about going under. We should be talking about going over. Hallelujah. We should be talking the word, muttering the word, talking. Well, bless God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I win, I don't lose.
Yes.
Hello. Instead of, man, everything I do just seems to blow up in my face. Hello. See, we mutter, but usually we mutter the wrong way, don't we? Now, we'll make positive confessions of faith when we're talking, believing, praying, or maybe talking to other people. But many times by ourselves and with ourselves, we mutter defeat and destruction. And we need to turn that around. We need to talk to ourselves the word. That's what he's saying here, see? He's saying you need to utter, you need to make a sound, but it needs to be the word in your mouth. I just can't ever seem to get this right. What an idiot. Hello? Am I talking to somebody here? Okay. Now, Brenda, you keep your finger out of my face. Because I know what she's thinking. But see, that's what we got to turn around. We got to turn around what we mutter, what we utter, what we say, and what we meditate, and what we say to ourselves. It's, you know, in psychological terms, they talk about self-affirmations. You know, well, I'm, you know, there are some good points of psychiatry and psychology. I have no problem with that. There are some bad points in psychology and psychiatry. But the things that are always good is the word. The word's always good. Many times the word agrees with some of these fields of science, and that's where those fields of science are correct. And when the Bible disagrees with those fields of science, that's where those fields of science are wrong. That's not where the Bible's wrong. That's where they're wrong. But in many cases, what the world has found out, because goodness gracious, you just live your life long enough, even a blind hog will find an acorn if he digs long enough. I mean, if you live long enough, you'll find some truth, and you'll formulate some doctrine or some science, and you'll put a plaque out there on your door, and there you are. You got this thing that helps people, and then you get a show, you know, like Oprah or some other show, and then they find out something that works, you know, and somebody gets on the bandwagon. But what we don't realize, it was always in the Word. The things that work were always in the Word. The problem is you have to eat so much, you know, you have to spit so many bones out to get to the meat in a lot of these fields of science and some of these shows that it's not worth the effort. Once you go to the Word, you don't have to spit any bones out. It's all like Brenda Lee likes a chicken. She likes white meat, boneless chicken breast, white meat. There's no bones in here. There's nothing in here to hurt you. It's all good. There's nothing you need to spit out or weed around. Are you with me? It's like going to a foreign country and they serve American food. It's wonderful. You have to think about that one. Go to foreign countries enough, you get to where you have to, oh, man, you got to pick and choose and eat and keep your mouth shut. Yeah. Which is hard to do. It's hard to eat and keep your mouth shut at the same time. Anyway. Now, having said that, what's true here, the principle here, what he's saying here is that we need to speak, we need to mutter, we need to talk to ourselves, speak to ourselves the Word. That's what he's telling Joshua. That's what this word literally means. It means to absolutely to utter a sound concerning a thing, concerning something, and also to sing and to celebrate. That's good. And the third meaning it uses, the first was to murmur, to mutter. The second was to speak. The third was to meditate. But, now listen to this, to meditate. This is Jacinius Hebrew Chaldee Lexicon of the Old Testament. Yes, amen. I tell you, I'm feeling like a professor up here. To meditate means to speak with oneself, murmuring in a low voice. So when we say meditate, we're not just talking about thinking. I think that's what we can think about in this day and age, modern age, when someone says, I meditate. They mean they're just thinking quietly, not saying anything. But in the Hebrew sense, that word did not mean that. When the Bible used the Hebrew word haggah and translated meditate, it meant to talk. It meant to talk to oneself in many cases. Hello. Oh, hallelujah. So this is what he's telling Joshua. Keep this word in your mouth and you talk to yourself the word day and night. You talk to yourself the word day and night. Now thank God for testimonies. Thank God for people stand up in church and give testimonies. We heard some good ones tonight. Thank God for keeping a good confession when people come up to you and ask you how you're doing, how's it going, and you say the word and you say, well, God said this and I believe it and I'm standing on it. It's going to be like God said. But I'll tell you what, it's a greater thing in your life and my life when you start talking to yourself that way. Hello. And a lot of times that's where we drop the ball. We wouldn't dare make a bad confession in front of anybody else, but we'll turn right around and say the most negative things when we're by ourselves and not amongst anybody else. And yet that's determining our destiny more sure, more solid, more secure. Our destiny is being determined by what we say to ourselves more than what we're saying to everybody else. Now, we need to say the right thing to everybody, no question. But you cannot defeat and negate and undermine your prayers and confessions publicly with what you say in your own home to yourself and expect to win. You're not going to win that way. You've got to get your mouth straight concerning yourself in your home and your house. Ooh, hallelujah. And so it's a personal thing. You've got to keep it. It's all personal. You've got to keep it personal. Sure, there's a public manifestation, a public outcry, public declaration. But you got to personally say this thing in your home. You know, often hear it in, you hear about preacher's kids, you know, PKs is what they call them, PKs. I did an interview with Pastor Wilberforce, Bezidi from Kampala, Uganda. Remember that he came and ministered here? We did a television interview that he's going to air all over the nation of Uganda. and we were talking. He was asking questions, and we were going back and forth. Real neat format. We sat there at a table and just talked the word, talked about families, talked about ministry, and talked about the nation, and then prayed for the nation of Uganda on television. And he said, I'm a preacher's kid, you know. And he said, in Uganda, he says, preacher's kids have a reputation of not being so well. And I said, well, that's the same way in the United States. I said, it's wrong, but that is the reputation. And I explained to him that preacher's kids are called PKs. He didn't know what that meant. He said, what does that mean? I said, PK, preacher kid. That's what we call them, PK. It's not always a good thing. And he says, that's right. He says, that's what's going on with us. He said, all your children are serving the Lord. He said, that's one thing that impressed me about your family, that they're all serving the Lord, all involved in ministry and so on and so forth. And he said, what's the secret? What is the secret when you have all these kids that of other preachers that don't serve the Lord? Why is it that your children are serving the Lord? And I said, well, Pastor Wilberforce, is real simple. I preach, I live what I preach. Brent and I say in our home the same things we say in this church. And that we don't have two lives. You know, we don't live two different ways. We pray about things and we confess the word. And we have always said, Brent, I've always said, you know it. You've heard, you've been here coming for years. You know this. We've always said our children are going to serve God and everybody they hook up with. And that we've never deviated from that. And we've had some challenges. We've had some battles. But you know what? We didn't give up. We kept saying the word. We kept saying what God said. And we'd say it to each other. And we believe that. All of our children are going to serve God. All of our children are godly. All of our children are going to serve God all the days of their life. And everybody they hook up with, you know. So you've got to say it in your home. I think the problem with some preacher's kids, not all, but some preacher's kids, the problem with everybody, not just preacher's kids. We say one thing publicly, but we don't live it privately. See, and that won't work. That can't work. If you want this thing, you want to get the ball rolling here, you're going to have to get this word in your mouth and say it to yourself. You've got to speak it to yourself. Self-affirmation. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I am victorious in Christ Jesus. I am. You know, whatever. You say it. You say the word to yourself. You keep it in your... You haggah, that Hebrew word haggah. You speak it, utter it, mutter it, speak it, say it to yourself. Then from here we went to Psalms 37. Turn there. I've got some other scriptures I want to get to, but I want to bring this out too. This helping you? So you got to be consistent. Because really what you... See, if you go out publicly and have a public ribbon cutting, as it were, you're going to start a farm and you have everybody show up and all the media, newspaper and the whole nine yards, and you're going to plant something out here. And you walk out in that field and you're going to plant this watermelon patch and you take a seed in front of everybody, you know, and they cut the ribbon and you walk out there and you put the watermelon seed in there and they got the golden shovel and turn the dirt, whatever, you know. Like you're building a building or some office or something. And everybody sees that, and it's in the paper, and there it is publicly. We have planted this watermelon seed. And then all the media leaves, and all the people go, and they take the ribbon and the gold shovels. They never leave those things. Take them back. And you turn right around when everybody's gone, you plant a bunch of corn. Did you know time's going to tell what you put in that field? No matter what's in that paper. No matter what everybody saw. No matter what everybody thought you were doing, what you really are doing behind the scenes when nobody's looking, it's going to come up. So if you're saying one thing, say, make a confession of faith or have us pray or believe God, and yet you do not believe God and you will not say the word and you will not pray the word, it's going to manifest.
That's right.
Now, I'm not saying that in a judgmental manner, because that thing speaks to me too. I mean, I have to get a hold of that. We all have to personally start saying the word. That's what this is all about. Everything we're here learning, picking up, and getting a hold of is for our personal life. It's for us to activate and institute in our personal life. That's going to make the difference. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah. Psalms 37. And I'm talking to winners tonight, so don't think I'm pointing fingers at anybody. I'm not even thinking about anybody. I'm thinking about anybody. I'm thinking about me. Hello. I just preach what I need. I figure if I need it, you need it.
Amen.
I figure if I've been slipping somewhere, you've been slipping too, you know. So I just kind of feel like today a lot of y'all been slipping.
Okay.
Well, you must be, because I've been slipping today. I've had to catch myself, my mouth, you know, and just, yeah, you know, yada, 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 all that stuff. Oh. People say, well, I'm just complaining. No, you're just prophesying your future is what you're doing. And you got to stop prophesying all that negativity and that defeat and start saying a word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now you quit thinking about what I've been talking about. Let's get back to this message here. Psalms 37, notice what it says in 30th verse. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. Everybody say speaks. There it is, Haggah. Haggah speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice, not unfairness, not everything's going wrong, not we're not going to make it. No, it speaks, we're going to make it. God will vindicate me. God's word is true. It will work. Hallelujah. Amen. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. In other words, he'll stand. He won't fall. He'll make it. Well, here I go again. Man, I mess up every time. It's another opportunity for me to go under again. No, no. This is an opportunity for you to win. This is an opportunity for you to make it. I've been down this road. I know this. I've sung this song. I've ridden this horse. I flipped this coin. I know all the cliches. Stop that. You're not doomed to repeat failure the rest of your life. You're not doomed to repeat sin the rest of your life. You're not a loser. You're a winner. Don't buy the lie. Don't let the devil tell you that. And don't you take his bag of goods. You send him down the road. You submit to God. Resist the devil. The Bible says he'll flee from you. You can make it. You can turn your life around. You can make a difference. You can make a change.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Get the word in your mouth. Amen. Speak the word. Speak the word. And your steps will stop sliding. The wicked watches the righteous, 32nd verse, and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he is judged. Assuming, of course, you're speaking the word. God will always show up and he'll always help you. Amen. And then, of course, Psalm 71. I'm going to run through this quickly because we did cover this. Psalm 71, we covered this Sunday. 24th verse, my tongue also, Psalm 71, verse 24, my tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long. Talk, Haggah, speak, meditate, speak to oneself, say it over and over. My tongue shall talk of your righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought to shame who seek my hurt. He's talking about opposition. He's talking about battles, just like Psalm 37, just like Joshua 1:8. In the battles of life, when you have opposition, what do? Talk the word.
That's right.
Amen? And if you will do so, then your enemies will be confounded, and those who seek your hurt will be brought to shame.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't get into talking negative. Talk the word. Don't start singing that old song, nobody knows the trouble I seen. No. Don't start singing that. Don't sing that hee-haw song. What is that hee-haw song? In agony on end. Woo! She met another end. She was gone. Something like that. I don't know. You know. Oh, come on now. Don't start all those old country and western tunes up. Hello. You know the old joke. You play a country western record backwards. What do you do? What you get? You get your wife back. Get your dog back. You get... Come on, you come back out of that train wreck and you get sober all of a sudden. That's what happens. You play one backwards, you know. Well, we do that. I mean, we will sit there and get depressed or get down, and you know what we do? We put on the blues music, you know. Put on the we play the blues. I'm in one of those moods. Well, yeah, and you're just feeding that devil. I mean, you're just sitting there. You're putting gas on that fire. No, put it out. Don't play that old blues record. Start singing, this is the day the Lord has made or something, you know. Hallelujah. Talk to yourself the word. Talk to yourself the word. Turn to Psalms 1. Psalms 1. Here is the same word, which you've heard it. I mean, you could quote this. It says in the first verse, first chapter, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, obviously, got to hang around some people who are talking the word. Got to hang around people that love God. I think that's the number one as far as things that you do besides speaking. Things that you do are going to cause you to succeed in life is to quit hanging around sinners.
Amen.
Now you say, I thought we're all sinners. No, we were sinners. Now we're saints.
Amen.
Well, we're all sinners. No, we were all sinners, but now we're saints.
Amen.
Now, I might have sinned after I became a saint, but that's not what I am. I am a saint. I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things become new. I am light. The Bible calls me light. I am the body of Christ. I am righteousness. He calls me that. That's what the scripture says that. And so I have no fellowship. The Bible says I have no fellowship. Righteousness has no fellowship with unrighteousness. Believers have no fellowship with unbelievers. Now, we can minister to people. We don't hang out with people, though, that are lost. And if you're coming out of something, my best advice I give to everybody that ever comes out of anything, I don't care what it is, and I have a background of drugs and alcohol and jails and all those things, but the thing that was a turning point in my life, of course, when I accepted Jesus Christ, is that I threw in with Christians. I started hanging around Christians.
Yes.
And the only time I really hung around with other people were when I worked with them or I'd try to minister to them, but I didn't go out with them.
Yeah.
Are you with me? I didn't hang out with them.
Yeah.
Why? Because I can't feed faith by hanging around unbelief. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful.
Right.
Don't stand in the way with the sinners. See, he says this man's blessed that does this, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You got to make a break. You got to be encouraged yourself. You got to get around people that love God. And you got to get in a church that preaches the Word of God. That's going to encourage your faith if you're believing God for something. Not a church that's going to stand up and tell you that your problem is God, that God is putting this on you and putting you through this thing and putting this sickness on you and putting this pain on you. Oh, come on. No. You need to be somewhere where they'll tell you God is a healer and God is a deliverer and God loves you. And if you call out to Him, He'll answer you and He'll heal you and He'll deliver you and He'll set you free. You need your faith encouraged. You need to be around people of like faith. You need to be around people that love God. Now, we don't stick our nose up at anybody. We're not talking about self-righteousness. Are you with me? We love people, but our fellowship is our choice. And we choose to hang around people that love God. They're going to talk the Word. Hello. I love getting around people that talk the Word. You know, while I was in Australia, the first trip we went to a place called Toowoomba. Everybody say Toowoomba. Okay. See, if you keep saying these words fast enough, you'll go right off into tongues. If you had ever had trouble being baptized, the Holy Ghost, this will help you. But we were in Toowoomba at the first trip and run into Ray and Carol Gale, pastor of the Abundant Life Fellowship in Toowoomba. And I ministered there on that first trip four or five years ago, whenever we first went over there. And I just clicked with Ray and Carol. I mean, Brent and I both clicked with them because they are just like us. They just talk the Word, all their children in the ministry serving God, in their church. They talk the Word while we're riding around the car, while we're in the homes. We're talking the Word. We're talking Scripture. It's positive. I mean, they're confessing the Word over their family and over their children, over the body. Several times we've had incidents come up, you know, healing, needed healing. And I'm telling you, they didn't waver in their confession. They're believing God and standing on the Word. And it just there was like faith. There was such a kindred spirit there when we just connected with them, and that's what it was. It encourages me to get around them. They're encouraged. We're around them, and we just encourage each other. Iron sharpens iron, and the countenance of a friend sharpens the countenance of a friend, the Bible says.
Amen.
Now, why is that? The power of the Word. It's the power of fellowship. It's the power of right choices. And so, naturally, when we go there, we always go to see them, and we wind up preaching all over Queensland. They line us up at meetings, and this trip, we went to Toowoomba, went to Kingaroy, went to Bundaberg. I told you, if you got this itinerary down, you go into tongues. And, of course, we went to Brisbane and a couple places in Brisbane and just had a wonderful time. We had three people baptized in the Holy Ghost in Kingaroy in a church there. Thank God for good fellowship. Thank God for like faith. It's important, if you're going to serve God, to get around people that are going to talk the Word so you can hear it, not just publicly, not just in a service, but people you hang around talk it to. Hello. And then, ultimately, of course, you got to talk it to yourself. And that's what he says here in the second verse. But this blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Haggah. And I believe here he's talking about speaking to oneself, saying it, uttering it, muttering it. What? The law, the Word. Why is he blessed? He's blessed because he speaks to himself the Word day and night. That's why he is blessed. In fact, there is a translation by J.B. Rotherham. You know J.B. Rotherham, don't you? Actually, he wrote a translation called the Emphasized Bible. That's not a real familiar Bible to you. You know the Amplified. This is the Emphasized. Even sounds funny, doesn't it, to say it? But anyway, he wrote that he translated this verse where it says, in his law doth he meditate day and night, King James. In his law he meditates day and night, New King James. R.K. J.B. Rotherham said, doth he talk doth he talk with himself day and night? I believe you got it right. I believe that's what it really should be. Doth he talk with himself? Talking to himself all the time and with himself all the time. What? The Word. In his law doth he talk with himself day and night. And then R.K. Harrison, you remember him, don't you? R.K. Harrison, he wrote translated the Psalms, and he had a book out on the Psalms, R.K. Harrison. What's wrong? Did y'all ever read all these books? Come on. Don't you? I would think most of y'all stay awake at night reading the Jacinius Hebrew Chaldee lexicon of the Old Testament. Does that not interest you? I mean, if you're ever having trouble going to sleep, there's a good book to grab. No, you don't understand. See, what the deal is, I'm kind of a night creature. I stay up a little late. So I'm always trying to find out ways to go to sleep. And so I read all these dry books, but the problem is it doesn't work. I just get interested in them, and I start learning things. Amen. Y'all pray for me. Anyway, don't you want to know what R.K. Harrison said? Let me get to that. Where it says in his law he meditates day and night, it says by day and night he recites his law to himself. See, both those translations say the same thing, that they talk the Word to themselves, to themselves, to themselves. That's what that word means. So we talk about this blessed man here in Psalms, and he is. He's blessed because he meditates in the Word day and night, because he recites it to himself, because he talks it to himself day and night. Are you talking to yourself the Word? That's the big question. You know, we're big on confession and saying the Word, and rightly so. We should. You ought to keep your confession straight around people and in church and when you pray and so on. But now, you know, I think more importantly than all that, because you hear yourself more than anybody, you should talk the Word to yourself.
Yeah.
Like Popeye, you know. Except you're talking a Word. And you're encouraging yourself. You know, David did that. You remember that instance where David went to Ziklag? He had been with the Philistines, and he was actually hiding from Saul, you know. And he had his men with him, and he went back to Ziklag where he was staying, had all of his wives and all of his children there. And when he got there, all of his wives and children were gone. And all their stuff was gone because some people had come in and overtaken him and taken him captive. And the people even talked of stoning David. And they all wept. The Bible says they wept till they had no power to weep. And the Bible says this. This is unique. It says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. Yeah. Now, how do you think he did that? I mean, you know, we read that and we say that. But how do you think how did David encourage himself in the Lord? Did he go knock on a door where God was living, open up and says, God, I need to talk to you, and encourage himself? Well, he encouraged himself in the Lord by talking the Word. Sure. By going over what God said about him. Yeah. It's David that wrote this song. Hello. You'll meditate in the Word. You're blessed when you meditate in the Word day and night. Hallelujah. So, this is something we've got to get a hold of if we're going to be blessed, if we're going to succeed, if we're going to prosper, if we're going to have good success. Amen. We've got to develop the habit of talking the Word to ourselves. And over our business, over our marriage, over our body, over our ministry, whatever the case may be. Talk the Word, talk the Word, talk the Word. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. I know this is kind of what we closed out with Sunday. I'll just make full circle and close out tonight on that same note. Don't get excited. I'm not fixing to shut her down the next minute, but I don't want to give you false hope, you know. You're going to have to endure just a little bit longer, but I'm headed that way. Isaiah 59, the whole chapter is really about a sinful state that Israel is in. And God has not commended them in any sense or stretch of the imagination here. He is getting on to them because they're not believing Him, they're not trusting Him, and literally they're not speaking His Word. And He's wanting to deliver them. He's wanting to redeem them. He's wanting to help them. But He can't help them because they won't talk His Word. And the obvious answer or correction of this problem, or this dilemma, is for them to get the Word of God back in their mouth. And that's what he ends up with in the last verse. But notice where he starts out, these are familiar verses. You've heard these verses, maybe not connected to where it was. First verse says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. You've heard that. God's ear is not deaf. His arm's not short. And that's true. That's positive. But there is a problem here, next verse. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. God's not the problem. God's arm's not short. His ear's not heavy. He can hear and he can save and he can reach out with his arm and he can deliver. But you know what the problem is? Your sins have separated you from your God. Not God, you have. Hello. Now, I'm just saying generally, I'm not talking about you specifically. Although if the shoe fits, wear it. How many times have you known that to be the case, that you're in a mess and it's your own problem? Something you've said or done, and it wasn't anybody else's fault, it's just your fault. And if you'll repent and come back to God, God's always there. He's always waiting. He'll always deliver. He'll always take you back. But he's waiting on you to believe him and you to trust him. Amen? So the answer is get back in the Word. Get back in line. Get back in righteous living, righteous holy living, and believing God and standing on the Word and saying the Word. He says, your iniquities have separated you from your God and your sins have hidden his face from you. Wow. So that he will not hear. Why? Did he just say, bless God, I'm just not going to hear anything? No, he came here because of our sins. Our sins have separated us from him. It's not God just giving up on us. It's our sins pulling us away from God. We often think when we get out there in the world, we do things wrong, bad things begin to happen. We think God's doing that to us. Well, God's just, you know, whipping me or whatever he's doing, just trying to get me in line. No, your sins did that. God didn't do that. Well, where is God? Well, he's way over there where you left him. He never moved. And if you come back to him, he'll receive you again. It's not that God's doing all these things, bad things to you when you get out there. God's not doing anything to you. And when God doesn't do anything to you, there's nothing but bad that can happen. People talk about New Orleans and all, Katrina and all that came through. Well, that just God's judging them because of Mardi Gras or judging them because of their sin. Oh, no, I'm sorry. If that's the case, God's got a lot of answer for it. Because I know nations where they kill Christians and kill people even talk about Jesus. Where's the judgment of God on them? Listen, judgment is coming. And we know that in the Scripture's plain. But to say that God judges New Orleans because of their sin with this hurricane that came through, Katrina come through, it's just ridiculous. It's unscriptural. God didn't do anything there. God wasn't present in that. God didn't do that, period. Hello. Now you heard preachers say, I've heard preachers say that. It's the judgment of God. Well, where's the judgment of God on Saudi Arabia? Where's the judgment of God on Iran? Where's the judgment of God on those where they hate Christianity, where they will kill you for even preaching Jesus? You know, Jesus dealt with that. In fact, he was talking one time, he says, you remember that tower that fell? We don't know a whole lot about it, but Jesus talks about a tower that fell and several men died, 20 men or so died. And he says, do you think those men were any more evil than anybody else? And then when this man was born, you know, a cripple, from his birth, the disciples want to know who sinned, his mother or him. He says, nobody sinned here. See, it's not always sin. We live in a broken, fallen world. Hello. And we're all subject to the devil. It's just the mercy of God that stays the hand of the devil in many cases. But it's not God doing bad things to us. Hello. There was sin there, but it wasn't the judgment of God. It's just sin many times that does it. Could have been some sin in New Orleans, but you know what? That could happen to any city. So unless we start pointing our fingers around here, wait a minute, it could happen to any town. We need to pray and believe God. Are you with me? So he says their sin separated them. Third verse says, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies and your tongue has muttered perversity, muttered haggah. You have said the wrong thing. You talk to yourself, but you talk the wrong thing. You've been speaking, but you've been speaking perversity. You've been speaking things opposite of the word or opposed to what God says. Hello. So as sure as speaking to myself the word get me out of the mess, speaking myself to myself opposite of the word will keep me in the mess and get me further in the mess. Because here's the same word used in a negative sense. They didn't haggah the word, they haggah perversity or things opposite of the word. And that's why they were in the mess they were in. And no one calls for justice, fourth verse. Nor does anyone plead for truth. We're not speaking truth. We're not speaking justice. We're not talking the word. Of course we're going under. Oh, these kids nowadays, I tell you what, they're just getting worse and worse. These kids, I guess they're just going down the tubes. I mean, they're getting on drugs, not a thing in the world you can do. They're going to go through they're going to sow their little wild oats, not a thing in the world you can do about it. And you talk that stuff and you speak that over your children, you know what? You get what you say. Hello. You got to stop talking that way. You got to talk not negatively or perversely, but Haggai, speak to yourself, talk to yourself and your children and your family the word. Now going down a little further, notice in the 11th verse, we all growl like bears. That sounds like Papa when he gets up in the morning, doesn't it? Well, actually he was talking about moaning and groaning and complaining. And he says we growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. Everybody say moan. You know, the sound that doves makes. It's a sad song. We're singing that sad song. You know, you want a little cheese with that wine? You know, that's what I want to say. We're just talking, oh, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Oh, I have it so bad. You're moaning like a dove. That's what he's saying here. You're growling like a bear. You're moaning sadly like a dove. Everybody say moan. Haggah, same word in Hebrew. You're talking to yourself sadly, negatively. Woe is me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody accepts me. Nobody receives me. I'm not important. I don't count. Nobody loves me. Oh, my, me, me, me. Got to stop it. You got to start talking the word. Are you with me? Quit moaning and growling like a bear. Growling like a bear in pain. That's what he's saying in that sense. And start looking for justice. Since we look for justice, but there is none. Why? Because there's none in anybody's mouth. Haggah, not talking to yourself. Then he says in 13th verse, get down there, in transgression and lying against the Lord, not a good state to be in here. Everybody say, that's not me. I want to keep it on positive note. This is not me. This is not us, but this is instruction. I always heard there's only one thing worse than learning from experience. That's not the best way to learn, I can tell you what. I'd rather take the Word of God and not go through some bad experiences. But there is one thing worse than learning from experience, and that's not learning from experience. Okay? So if you've been here, wake up and smell the roses, okay? Or the coffee, as we say at Starbucks. But anyway, maybe you've been in a mess. I don't know. Maybe you've made a wreck of your life. Well, hey, you can come out of it. But you got to change something. You can't solve it. There's Einstein, I believe, that said you cannot solve the present problems you're having with the level of intelligence that you had when you created them. It's deep tonight, I'm telling you what. I'm just getting into some deep truth tonight. I mean, my dad said another way, you can't do the same thing twice and expect different results. You know, that was called insanity, is expecting different results from doing the same thing. So change something you're doing. Look at yourself. Look at your life. Examine yourself. Will you be in the faith? Or did you drop the ball somewhere? I'd say most of us probably could say we probably dropped it here, didn't we? We started Popeyeing, really, negatively. You know it. Come on, it's the truth. And we try to keep that good confession around everybody else. But as soon as that door closed, or as soon as we... I used to work with a guy. This is so funny. I used to work with a guy on the market behind the counter. And we wholesale produce. And I did that for a while. Then I was just back in the office on the phone for a couple of years. But I started out working behind the counter with this guy. His name's Willie. You'll never run into Willie. So I'll just go ahead and use his name. We'd sit there, and customers would come in, and you got to where you knew certain customers because you had different customers that came in and bought, you know, you bought boxes and cases and everything, it's wholesale, and people would come in, and Willie would sit there, and he had his customers, and I had my customers, and they'd come in, they'd complain about something. He said, well, we'll take care, don't worry about that, we can handle that, we can fix that, no problem, yeah, just go back here and trade that box out and this and that. And so as soon as the door would close to the office, he smiled like this, and that door would close. He said, can you believe that knucklehead coming here like that, talking about this? Nothing wrong with those boxes. He comes in here every time and does it, every single time. If the guy hadn't turned and come back in the door, he'd smile again. Can we help you? Just, you know, I mean, one way publicly and then in private. Okay. Don't be that way. Don't moan like a dove and growl like a bear here. He says, in transgression, lying against the Lord, 13th verse, and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, saying the wrong thing, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, lies, against the promises of God. God's word's not true. It's not going to happen. It's not going to come to pass for me. Maybe somebody else, but not me. I wish I could believe that, but I can't believe that. That's just not going to happen. I never seem to get it right. It never works. And here we go again.
Yeah.
Hello.
I heard that.
Come on.
Yeah.
Muttering or uttering, haggah. That's that same word. Three times in this same chapter. Think about it. Three times. And this word's not even used that much in the Old Testament. 23 or 25 times, depending on who you read. Nelson's Expository Dictionary, Old Testament word says 25. I only counted 23, but that's, you know. But anyway, that's just the difference between me and him. But anyway, 23, 25 times in the Old Testament, it's only been used, and it's used three times in this one chapter. It's used more in this chapter than any other chapter in the Old Testament. It's quoted, I guess, in one book, Psalms more than the other book, nine times in Psalms, but it's quoted eight times in Isaiah, and three in this one chapter. And the problem over and over and over was what they were saying to themselves. What separated them from God was what they were saying to themselves. What kept them from winning was what they were saying to themselves. Well, what's the answer? Well, he goes on and says this, justice is turned back in the 14th verse, and righteousness stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity or righteousness cannot enter. So truth fails. Why does truth fail? Why does the Word of God not work? Because we don't work it. Why does it not happen? Because we don't say it to ourselves day and night and recite it day and night. 16th verse, God speaking, he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. No one to stand up and say the truth. No one to stand up and speak the truth. And so God sent himself, Jesus, to redeem us. And he was what? The Word made flesh. That's what he talks about here. He sends the Redeemer. And the 20th verse, the Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression. And Jacob, says the Lord, and as for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant. I'm going to solve this problem. I'm going to make a deal with you. I'm going to make a contract with you. We're going to quit this insanity. We're going to stop this destruction that's going on in your life. And here's how we're going to do it. This is my covenant, my agreement with them, my spirit which is upon you, my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth. Nor out of the mouth of your seed, your children, nor out of the mouth of your seed, your children's children, grandchildren, from henceforth and forever, says the Lord. Think about it. This is the answer to this problem of going under constantly and leaving God constantly, getting in sin constantly and being defeated constantly. What? This is the answer. Get the word in your mouth. In fact, next verse, and I'm quit, this is it. There are no chapter divisions in the Bible, incidentally. The original Hebrew, we got them in our King James, we got them in our modern translations. But if you, this thought just keeps going, he says, arise and shine, 60th chapter, verse 1. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Well, I like that. The answer has come. Here's the answer. You know what the Amplified says here? Oh, are you sitting down? Well, you better watch it. Arise and shine. Amplified says, arise from the depression and the prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Wow. Oh, no, you didn't hear that. Let me read it again. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Well, that's good, isn't it? That powerful? How? Get the word in your mouth and write another chapter in your life. Change your destiny. Rise to a new life, and for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise up over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Amen.